This is September 28th, 2009, and Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff are in the home of Cordelia Froschner to interview her. And so we're going to start out. Cordelia, what is your full name?
Cordelia Anna Marie Dahl Froschner.
And where do you currently reside?
903 East 7th, Kinsley, Kansas.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Ford County at the home of my parents.
And what's your birthday?
September the 6th, 1918.
And that makes you how old today?
91.
Okay. What were the names of your parents?
Ida and Emil Gold.
And Ida's maiden name was?
Kurst.
And who were your grandparents on both sides?
Edward and Bertha Kurst and Jacob and Anna Maria Gold.
So you were named after your grandmother, your middle
yes,
name.
Yes, my middle name.
Can you describe the household you grew up in? I mean, how many brothers and sisters you had and where you grew up?
I grew up on that same farm where I was born.
Where was the farm?
Ford County.
Near Overly?
Yes, about... about 8 miles south.
Okay.
And what was your
name? All your brothers and sisters?
I was the youngest of the family. And my sister, Vanilda, was the next youngest. And then there were four boys. There were two boys. The oldest was Herman. You want the whole name or just...
That's good.
Herman. Second one was Edward. And then there was a baby that was born not complete. And her name was Aurora. And she died very soon after birth. And then the next one was a boy, Adolf. And the last boy was Armin.
What brought your grandparents, or whoever, who was first in Edwards County? Were the Gauls and the Kurst?
And Kurst were both here.
What brought them here?
I think mostly religion. And the Gauls lived in Chicago. And the Kurst lived in a small town close to Chicago.
When you said religion, what do you mean?
There was oppression in Germany. I'm not sure which religion. I better not say something. I'm not sure.
Well, you don't know if they were Catholic or Lutheran or?
They were Lutheran.
They were Lutheran.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I know what they were, but I don't know what chased them out of Germany.
So they went from Germany to Chicago?
The Gauls did, yes.
And then came here?
Yes. The father was a butcher. He had a meat butcher in Chicago. And then he decided to come west.
And he came to farm?
Yes.
He didn't open a butcher shop, did he? They farmed.
Yeah.
And that was the Gauls, right?
And the Kurst were farmers from the beginning, I think.
I'm trying to think. You were born in
1918.
So... during the Dust Bowl. Well, maybe tell us a little bit about growing up. What was it like growing up on a farm with four big brothers?
Well, I was enough younger so that it wasn't too bad, although some of them stayed there longer, you know. And I remember when my sister and I used to go out and get the milk cows in, and we'd eat wild onions while we were out in the pasture. And the one brother that was farming with Dad used to really scold us because our breath was horrible.
Okay, so you brought the cows in. What other chores did you do?
That was, we gathered the eggs and things like that. Carried in wood for the wood stove, cook stove. Big old majestic. And our house was quite elaborate. My dad was born in Chicago, and so he had a lot of insight into the way, the more modern way than out here. And we had a big house, stucco, metal roof. Four bedrooms upstairs and four downstairs. Mm-hmm. And tile kitchen floor. And we had running water by the time I was born. Running water, inside toilet.
Wow.
It was a modern home for those days.
When did you get electricity?
We had that from the time before I was born.
Oh, really?
Had the motor down in the basement.
A generator.
I guess. And it had 16 big batteries. Mm-hmm. And running water all over the house. Had a big tank upstairs that we filled with the windmill.
Did you have a bedroom to yourself, or did you share with a sister? You had enough bedrooms there.
No, when we were little, we shared always. Our bedroom was right next to folks'. But as we got older, thought we were big girls, and we had separate bedrooms.
You must have been a pretty well-to-do family.
Well,
compared to neighbors, or not? Was the whole community out there like that?
No, it wasn't. I only know of one other family, and that was at Wentworth, that had that kind of, running water and that type of thing.
Now, we've interviewed people who didn't have electricity after World War II.
That's
so
right. Mm-hmm.
You're real lucky in that regard. Do you remember the Dust Bowl at all? Can you tell us anything? I'm trying to think about how old you'd be there.
Well, yes, I think I was.
Yeah, you were pretty old.
17. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And when they'd come and get us, sometimes we'd have to stop because we couldn't see the road. And fortunately, our farm that my dad bought had a, what do they call it, tree claim. Government somehow sponsored it. That was there when he bought it. And what
kind of trees were on it, do you remember?
A lot of locusts, I know, and cottonwood. That's about all I'm sure of.
And then you said they came and got you. Was there some sort of a school bus?
No, they took us. And
your
then,
folks took you?
Yes. And then the later years, we rode with some cousins. He was old enough to drive then. Reinhard Kurth.
How did your house hold up in the Dust Bowl, your modern house? Did the dust get in? Or?
No. That's what I was starting to say with the tree claim and everything. We had a lot of trees all the way around the house. And that helped. And then the house was well built.
Any other memories from that time? Any particular?
Well, one thing I remember is there was a mulberry hedge on the place Anson fruit, but it was really a small orchard too. But anyway, on this mulberry hedge, this sister-in-law, my brother Adolf's wife, and I have a picture somewhere of the two of us standing on top of a mulberry hedge, a tall hedge, because it had snowed and blown in there so much. And I always think that's something else.
Yeah.
two people walking on top of a hedge.
Yeah.
And it was just full of snow.
About how high do you think the hedge was?
Oh, my. She was a tall woman, and it was taller than she was. She must have been not too far from 6 foot, maybe.
So the hedge was maybe 8 foot, or?
Well, at least, yeah.
At least 8 foot. Wow.
But it kind of served as a shelter for the orchard,
mm-hmm.
And I guess it was pretty compact. Had to be to hold enough snow,
yeah,
on, to hold two people.
What kind of trees were in your orchard?
Oh, we had plum, and we had cherry, peaches, and then around the house we had a lot of apples, a couple kinds. One fall apple, and one was the early spring green apple. I don't know what it was.
Was that your job to pick fruit too?
Oh yeah.
And what'd you do with the fruit?
Canned it, mother and us. We always canned it.
Made jam and jelly and for pie filling. And
oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Okay, the Dust Bowl and the Depression sort of go together. What do you remember about the Depression?
Well, it was definitely pulled in the buying, and I don't know. I think during the Depression is when Dad took out a loan on the place. Yeah, I think he'd spent most of his money. Because at first the prices, you know, the harvest were good, and then, see, I think it was 1 year they didn't get to cut any wheat.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying you were in high school, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of cut out the spending. How did that affect your life as a high schooler?
Okay, I don't know. That didn't bother. Everybody else was in the same boat. I never let it bother me anyway.
I know, I think at the library, that's when they didn't have a yearbook, right? Did it affect things, activities at the school or anything like that that you remember?
No.
Do you remember people losing their farms or moving away?
Mm-hmm.
Did any of your friends or?
Well, my uncle lost his farm, and later on Carl's dad bought the farm, or helped Carl buy it,
mm-hmm.
And that's where we went when we got married. We lived on that farm, and my grandson lives on it now.
And that was your uncle's farm, or
mm-hmm.
Your uncle's?
Edward Kerr's.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved down to Buttermilk, Oklahoma. Wherever that is. He wasn't in very good health either.
Okay, well, that brings us up to our main topic of World War II. And our first question there was, let's see, how old would you have been on December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor happened? Let's see. 27, 37, you would have been about 24?
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about Pearl Harbor Day?
Well, of course, we were all real shocked.
Where were you when you heard the news? Or?
No, I don't think I remember that. I
It was a Sunday, wasn't it? It was a Sunday, December 7th.
My dad read a lot, so I'm sure that's where I heard it.
Or the radio. A lot of people remember sitting by the old radio.
Yes, they had a radio.
Hearing the Lord declare.
Mm-hmm.
Were there members in your family then that were in the military or who were drawn into the military at that time?
No. None of our family or... Carl's family, his youngest brother, was in the Army. But the others were married and on the farm, and they left farmers alone pretty much. Carl was a rancher and farmer. But toward the end, I think they had him on a list, but the war was over quick enough so that he was never called.
Do you know how he felt about not going to World War II? Did he ever talk to you about that?
Well, he never wanted to. He never wanted to go. He had his farm there, and what was he going to do with it? His one boy wasn't old enough yet.
Yeah. And then you said his little brother was in the Army?
Carl's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, did he go overseas? Or
oh, yes. He was in Germany.
In Germany?
He had one narrow escape when a bullet hit his pack he had on his back. But then he almost got in trouble because he went and visited a relative over there.
Oh, that's right. You probably still had communication with German relatives, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, Carl's dad did. Uh-huh. Very much. We didn't so much. We did later. And we visited there. We'd been to Germany 3 times, I guess. And we visited Gauls and Frotzners and people that we'd sent care packages to during the war. Through the church, they gave us names. Mm-hmm. And remember the first time we went over there, when we got to this one home, why, the man said, "Oh, come in." And he said, "I got something to show you." Well, he had the suit that Carl had sent.
Oh.
It was years later. He still had it.
Now, was Oberlin settled pretty much by German people?
Well, what?
Was Oberlin settled by German people?
Mostly, yeah.
And so, during the war, was there any, did you ever feel any animosity because of your German heritage, like in other places?
No.
You were protected because of the community was German.
Yes, too many, yeah.
When your brother-in-law went and visited, did he tell you any stories about the family he visited or anything at that time and how they felt about the war?
Uh-uh. He tried to keep it a secret, but I guess they found out. But I think that was about the end of the war.
Now, could you speak German?
Oh, yes.
And so he could also?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Enough, anyway. I think his folks spoke a lot of German.
How did you learn German?
At home, we talked German a lot.
Your parents did?
Yes.
And your parents and okay.
We all learned German.
Uh-huh.
Our church had German services for years, and then as long as there were some of the older members that knew German well, I think every other Sunday they had a German service for a while, and then gradually they changed it and dropped all of it.
I grew up in a church that was German ancestry, and when I was a child, we still sang Silent Night in German at Christmas time.
I still know it.
That was held on for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was your brother-in-law married, or was he single when he was in the service?
He was single.
That was why he could go. So you were your, let's see, Carl had an agricultural deferment and a family deferment,
yes.
I guess. And you were a housewife. You didn't work, right?
No.
So what was your life like during the war? Did it?
Oh, we didn't have any trouble. Our friends and church members and that were German. Nobody bothered us.
What about rationing? Did that?
Well, sometimes, but you knew you couldn't get it, so.
What types of things were rationed?
Sugar, gas, tires, things like that. And those are the main things I remember. There must have been more. I believe gas was.
Did that change? Because you lived in the country, did that change? Whether how many times you went to town, or didn't it seem to?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Dad had to go to Dodge quite often because that was his farm was in Fort County. And, you know, the government always had some control. So you had to go sign papers and things like that.
Do you remember any sacrifices that you maybe made because of the war, other than the rationing?
No, I don't think so. So they evidently didn't affect me very much.
And your children were small.
What?
You had small children then, right? At that
yes.
time, if I remember right.
That's another thing that kept Carl home. Mm-hmm. He had a family.
Do you remember it's a church or anything? Do you remember supporting the women whose husbands were gone or in any way? Or did the community come together in any way for them?
I belong to our ladies' aid, we called it. Still do. And I know we sent care packages to Germany, but
to soldiers?
The families, that
to,
was
to soldiers, or and then you said you
both.
And during the war, you sent care packages to German families,
mm-hmm.
not after the war, but during the war.
Yes.
Okay.
They through the church, they got names,
mm-hmm.
and if you wanted to send something, you could pick it. Got a name. You didn't know them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we and Carl's folks sent quite a few.
I find that interesting. I mean, because you had the connection with Germany, but that the United States allowed that to go on, that you were able to help.
I don't know how they managed that. I never did hear.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before. I
didn't either.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It
was through the church.
Yeah, through the church.
I know that, but and there's some letters that these folks had written, and really grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, times are pretty tough there.
Oh yeah,
for the
they were really rough.
For the common person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were. There were no millionaires. That I know of.
So your life, did you see the war affecting the roles of women in Edwards County at all?
Yes, a lot of the women went to work.
Yeah. Where did they work?
Some of them locally, because the men were gone. And I think in the cities like Wichita, they got jobs where they needed them bad because the men were gone. It didn't affect our neighborhood much because they weren't working.
You're all farmers.
They didn't have the education in that. They were farmers.
I guess we didn't talk about your education. You finished high school?
Mm-hmm.
And did you go on at all?
No.
No. Because you got married.
I got married.
Day after your 18th birthday.
Well, I wasn't going to have it that Dad had to sign for me. I was doing this on my own.
Did your parents approve?
Yeah.
So you were somewhat of an independent woman.
I guess I must have been.
What did Carl think about that?
He never objected.
Let's see, do you remember when the VE or VJ day, when the war was over, do you remember those days at all?
Well, yes, there was a lot of good feeling and hip hip hooray. Yeah.
Was there any celebration in Oberlin?
No, I don't think so. And I don't remember when those days are either, do you?
We've done this before, haven't we? November 11th? That was the armistice, November 11th.
Oh.
But the Japanese, I don't remember the date.
That was later.
We looked that up, too, because I don't think you're the first person that's asked us that. We're not supposed to remember anything.
Oh.
So everybody was pretty happy.
Well, yes, they were all really relieved and waiting for their troops to come home.
And did you remember feelings about your relatives in Germany, too, then, at that?
Oh, yes.
Was there relief there?
Yeah.
When the soldiers came back, do you remember how Overly or Edwards County?
Yeah, I think the families had celebrations whenever a soldier came home.
The community didn't do things. It was basically.
I don't think so. Okay. Not that I remember. Of course, not having one in actually the family.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any families that lost?
Yes, my uncle's son. He only had one boy. He had three or four girls, and he was shot down in the plane. I think that's the only one out of our church that was a fatality.
Do you remember anything about the soldiers when they came back and how they integrated back into the community?
Well, I think they took a lot of ribbing and questioning and that, but everybody was real glad to see him.
And your brother-in-law did okay? He didn't have any...
He married my sister.
Oh. And you didn't notice any change in him when he came back?
I don't know. I don't think so. He was always ornery. And he still was.
Okay, at the end of the war, did you notice any changes in the community or Oberlin or the county or when the men started coming back?
Evidently not. We didn't, the farmers didn't associate that way much. Actually, the church activities were about the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when we met them in town or anything like that, that was different. But
and when the men came back, they went back to farming. They didn't go off and get a job somewhere else.
No, Ernie didn't, and that's Carl's brother didn't. And matter of fact, his dad was about ready for him to take over. And I think most of them. The other boys weren't farmers in the first place, and I'm not sure where they went to. but they took other jobs. There weren't too many of our people out there that went to away,
yeah.
Or they were in the war, yeah. Even, because they were nearly all on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So those years, you know, there was no big, very big deal, I don't think. It's private pleasure.
Sounds like it was a good place to be if the country was going to be in a war. It was on your farm.
Yes. Yes, it was. And there were some farm fellows that tried to start up a farm quick, so they'd get passed by, but I don't think that worked.
And was there ever a labor shortage for farm labor during the war because the men were gone? Or did you have enough relatives?
went back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, with four boys, I guess Dad never needed a hoe. Well, yes, he did. I remember a lot of hired hands. He'd get a lot of boys from the Lutheran College.
Where was the Lutheran College?
In St. Louis with you.
Oh, and they'd come out for the summer? Or?
Uh-huh. They'd come and work for the summer and live in the house with us. I remember them real well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we could get them because I don't think they took them out of the seminaries for the soldiers,
unless they were going to be chaplains or something, mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. Okay, well, this question is sort of, you know, back in that time period, but I think you're the first Oakerley person we've interviewed. But were there any minorities in the Oakerley area, Hispanics or blacks?
The Santa Fe had a home there for them.
For Hispanics?
Uh-huh. They worked on the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no difficulty with that I ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of the gals working for me, helping me cook and harvest. We'd have as high as 5 or 6 hired hands after the older boys were gone. And well, that was before I was married. But they kept to themselves, and we got along. I don't think there was any feeling there, mm-hmm. like there is now, because they've kind of taken over.
And they spoke both English and Spanish, or?
Most of them. Mm-hmm. The ones I had did. It was just this one time that I had a Mexican lady. She'd been working around in Oakley. I don't know what she did, but she took jobs different places.
None of them stayed on in the community, though. None of them.
No, that they had a cement sort of building there for them that the Santa Fe built.
Where was it? Do you remember?
Well, it was close to somewhere near where the elevators are. I really don't know.
On that side, the same side of the
tracks
as the elevators.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the south side, right?
Mm-hmm. And I guess that was kind of bad because I heard that they had a lot of tuberculosis and pneumonia and things like that because they were cement houses, probably not properly heated. And they were probably happy to go back to Mexico.
It was warm, huh?
Would be my guess.
Well, I guess that may be, again, this is our first Oakerley interview. The community of Oakerley, did you have doctors at that time that lived there?
I can't say for sure.
Where did you go to the doctor then? Like, what doctor delivered your children?
Kinsey.
Kinsey. So maybe there wasn't.
Must not have been then anymore. I think it seemed to me like earlier there was a doctor connected with a drugstore or something.
And what was the community, the business community like at that time? There was a drugstore?
Yes.
One or more grocery stores? What else?
Mm-hmm. Their bank always. And the elevator was a big deal. And let's see, there was one that had clothing. Always a restaurant. Beauty shop. I think.
Is it one grocery store?
I believe so.
What about car dealerships?
I mean, not that I know of.
The lumber yard? Did you have
yes, a lumber yard? Yes, yeah, a big lumber yard. It's run by the farmer's elevator, I think.
And did you do most of your business in Offerley or Offerley Kinsley? Or, like I said, if you went to Dodge, you had.
Dad went to Dodge. Carl and I mostly Kinsley because we were in Edwards County.
Well, I guess maybe you should. Where was your farm? Can you give us a description of where it was? Or is? Or you send your grandsons there now?
It's, See, it's 12 miles from Kinsey.
South and
a
little
west.
Should have did that in the first part, but we aren't always organized here. What other questions do you have, Mrs. Zeta, before we get to the end here?
A restaurant and a beauty shop.
Mm-hmm. Probably a barber shop.
Mm-hmm.
And a drugstore, you said.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Ehlers was in Offerley?
In Offerley? No. I didn't know they ever were.
Maybe you're like Rosetta and you couldn't shop there.
That's why I didn't do much shopping at that time.
Where did your children go to school, in Offerley, or was there a country school?
Carl's family, family went to country school till it closed. They then organized later on with Offerley. But we went to parochial school. Our church had a parochial school.
Where at?
At Zion Lutheran Church out in the country. It's only about 2.5 miles from home.
Was it elementary grades or what grade?
Yeah, just elementary.
Do you have a picture of that school?
Yes, I do.
Well, we will maybe look for that here in a minute. Did you see Miss Rosetta's eyes light up?
Yeah, there's even the picture inside of the school, and then the others is a picture of the church. I don't have.
So your life was basically centered around the farm and the church, right?
Yes, yes. We had a Walter League, a youth group, and Sunday schools, and well, and the youth group had three Sunday nights of the month. One, the first one was a business meeting, and the second one was a Bible study, and the third one was a social. And we played outdoor games, I don't know what they call them.
Relays and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In summer.
How did you get to school? your...
Depending on the weather, a lot we walked.
Okay.
And you said it was 2.5 miles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it was otherwise or late or something, boy, Dad took us in a horse, with a horse and buggy.
Oh.
Did the school have a barn for the mm-hmm. students that rode horses?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the parson had a cow to milk, a neighbor. One of the members loaned him a cow to milk, and he had chickens, and he was a farmer too, sort of.
So who were your teachers?
They were out of our Lutheran parochial school. I don't know if they were in the seminary.
So where did they live? Did you have housing for them, or?
They usually stayed. There was a man and woman lived just half mile from the church, and it's just the two of them, and they usually boarded fed.
And these were male teachers or both?
Both. Mm-hmm. My first grade was a man, and then I think it went to women, and then again a man, and just whoever was available.
And the grades were separate? You weren't?
Yes.
You had separate? And about how many children were in each grade?
Oh, I'd say probably no less than 4, and maybe, I don't know how high it would go. I know my sister was in a group, a larger group. Matter of fact, I think there were 12. But,
so when did the school close? Do you remember?
They had, let's see. I was, it only ran about 2 more years after I graduated from there.
And you graduated what year?
I started 35? When I was 6, and I went 8 years. 8 and 6.
Well, I was thinking if you were 18, 17, 27, 37, 30, 1935, was that your year?
I believe it is. No.
No?
Because I went to high school, and I didn't get married. I got married in 36. I was 18 in 36.
Yeah, but that was in the fall. So did you graduate from high school in the spring of that year?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be 36. Now, Zion Church is in which county?
Ford.
It's in Ford. So that may be where we don't have anything in our... Let's see, what else we'll do? Why don't you tell... We're going to go back again. Why don't you tell us a little bit about farming with horses and like we before the interview started, you were talking about combines and threshing and that sort of thing, but... I know you go back.
My uncle had a thresh machine then, and he went all over the country, the area right there. But he didn't go like the threshers, or the custom cutters do now, but he got the community. But first the farmer had to use a header to cut the wheat and blow it into the header barge.
Now, because I'm a dumb farm, I don't have no farm. Did the header just cut off the tops of the wheat, or did it cut it at the bottom?
It cut most of the
stalk. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it saw the header. I thought maybe it...
No. It's headed it, but then it headed pretty deep.
Okay.
And, then it was put into the header barge, and then it was put in a stack. And then when the thresh machine came around, they would pitch it into that, and the straw would be blown out into a pile, and that was their straw sacks, and that was used for feed. And the grain would go in trucks and taken home. And when Dad used the header, we used to once in a while ride the back end of the header, and it'd swing around. We thought that was very fun.
How about farm accidents? Do you remember any of those? Were that threshing?
We never had any.
Never had any farm accidents.
Uh-huh.
So you had granaries at your house to store the wheat in?
Yeah.
You didn't take it into Oakley?
Well, some may, probably, depending probably on whether the, what the price was and whether he needed the money right then.
And what did you raise besides wheat?
Oats and barley, I think.
And
I know
we
did part of the time, uh-huh. And I imagine that was done about the same way with a header. They didn't have combines yet.
Do you remember when you got your first tractor?
No, Dad had a tractor a long time ago, an old Hart Par, I believe it was called. That's before that. He pulled. It took four horses to pull a header.
Did you use like Morgan horses, or do you remember?
Not any particular.
No, just good horses. And could you ride a horse?
Yeah, I herded cattle a couple times, different times.
What do you mean, herded cattle? Took them.
They put them out on the field, like maybe alfalfa was needed, just eaten off, and things like that, and they put the cattle on them for a while. And you had to watch them because it wasn't fenced. So that was my job.
But you didn't stay with them all the time. You'd go back, would you take shifts, or did you camp out with them like a cowboy?
Nope, I didn't do that. No, they fed them there for I don't know how many hours. I don't remember that. But
and then, you'd
and then
back.
You went, put them in the corral and went home. Yeah, I rode a horse quite a bit. One time a cow got away, and this was a borrowed horse, by the way. And he said it was real tame, so Dad borrowed it for me to ride. And this cow started down a ditch by the road, and this horse, I didn't realize how trained he was. And when that cow stopped, or whatever it was, critter. When it stopped, that horse turned just like on a dime and nearly threw me off.
He was trained to stop with the animal.
Oh, yes, he was. He was well trained. And it was a Palomino, I know. That's as close as I came to falling off the horse. Fortunately, I guess I had a hold of the saddle horn. But we got the cow or critter back. Might have been steers. I don't know what it was anymore.
What are some things from your German heritage that maybe you did at home? You know, customs or celebration of Christmas, or and what would be some?
You remember the story of our Schnitzbrot in the paper?
Yes. But you can tell it here.
Well, that was from my grandparents, Gaul, who lived in the Black Forest. And she's the one that brought the recipe over here, and it's been made every year since they came over here.
You know what year that was?
I've got it somewhere. I don't know it offhand. And now some of my children are making it.
What was Christmas like in a German farmhouse?
Well, we always went out and cut a tree.
Cedar?
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Mother had quite a few glass-blown ornaments.
From Germany?
They were made in Germany. Now, whether, I don't know who brought them over here or whether they bought them here. And it was decorated with, and they were nearly all, I guess you'd say, religious. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a Santa Claus or a Mickey Mouse. I think he came later. But I still don't put them on.
Did you go to church Christmas Eve or Christmas
Day? Oh, yeah,
Day?
We had a program. The children's program. We learned all the songs, and then they sometimes had some of them dressed like shepherds and Mary and the baby, and usually a doll.
And when did you open your presents? Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
After we got home from the program.
Now, did you have candles on your tree, or?
Yes. Well, I don't know if the church did.
Well, at home?
We did at home, but that also had a bucket of water standing beside it.
Did you decorate the tree, or did your parents decorate it and surprise you?
They used to surprise us, and then I don't remember when it got started that we did it.
And did you hang a stocking?
No, we had a big fireplace, but we didn't have.
You kept Sandy right out of there.
Santa Claus wasn't important. Never had a Santa Claus come. You know, sometimes they have somebody dressed like Santa Claus.
Now, in the German community I grew up in, confirmation was very important. Did you have confirmation classes and to join the church? When did you do that?
About the time of the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. 13, 14, somewhere in there.
Did you memorize catechism?
Oh, yeah.
Were you examined before the church?
Yes. Okay. We sure were. You better know the answer, too.
I found that to be a real rite of passage. You know, that's when I got to wear my first heels.
Your first what?
High heels.
Oh, yeah.
And things. Was it a rite of passage at your time? Were you considered more grown up after that? Or?
I think so. You joined the church formally. And went to high school and joined Walter League, the youth group.
Now, in my community, too, there was a little bit of prejudice about, you know, who you should date. Did that go on? Or maybe you were all German Lutherans in that area and you didn't have the opportunity. But
yeah.
Was there?
There were a few that married otherwise. I know one boy married a Catholic girl, but she turned Lutheran. It's kind of strange. It just amazes me when I drive. I still go to church out there. That's just home church. Mm-hmm. And to see all the homes that are not there anymore. They're gone. And that's where they belong. It just doesn't seem right. How many empty farms?
Did that start after World War II? Or later?
I think it started then already. And now it's the young men now, most of them go out and get, well, they go to college to begin with, and they learn something besides farming. Some do go back to farming, but a lot of them don't.
And your family, you said you have a grandson that farms?
I had a what?
You have a grandson that farms?
Yes.
And who else?
Well, I have the man that our oldest daughter married is a farmer. our oldest daughter has passed away. And his family, he and all his family are farmers. They live in Missouri. And let's see.
How much of the old farm home, the Galls and the Froschner farms, is still owned by Froschners or Galls or relatives? I mean, is it still pretty much in the family, or?
A lot of them are, yes. Some of them have different names because the girls inherited it or bought it, whatever it is.
You went to high school. Did most of your, like, parochial school class, did most of the girls go on to high school, or did they quit at the eighth grade?
A lot of them did. I went to high school. Most of them out there did.
Did any of the girls go to college?
Well, my sister did. She was a registered nurse. She went to St. Louis. I had a brother there. My oldest brother lived in St. Louis. And, let's see, Nathan didn't, and Gilda didn't. Most of them didn't go to college.
When did you move into town here in Tinsley?
In 67. John was married then, and I told Carl, well, let's move while you're still able to do something else. And if John's going to be the farmer, he better learn it from you yet. So we moved in here. Then we traveled a lot. We've been to most continents, except I never went to Australia. We never. But we covered an all of this. I mean, Europe, we didn't. Czechoslovakia, I don't think we ever hit. But we've been in Russia, Yugoslavia, Italy, France, Hong Kong. We went there several times.
Did you go with a group, or did you go
easy on? With a tour group. First time we went to with a Lutheran group and visited all the Lutheran big deals in
Martin Luther places.
Yeah.
Well, looking back overall, how would you describe, and there may not be much to say here, how did World War II affect your life? Are there any ways that you think your life wouldn't have been the same if it hadn't been for the war?
That'd be hard to answer for me. If I had lost a member of the family, I'd have a way different view. But really, I can't say that it affected our life much. We always had enough to eat and plenty of clothes. Mom sold a lot of our clothes. And I inherited my sisters, and we just never. I don't remember there being any problems.
And you sold your children's clothes? Did you do this?
Oh yeah, quite a few of them. Yeah.
Okay, if it didn't affect you so much, how do you think it affected Edwards County in any way?
Well, yes, they lost quite a few boys. I mean, during that time, and maybe it had a lot to do with it. That was the only help a boy had, like my uncle. He lost his farm too. I think he just kind of lost interest all the way around.
When he lost his farm. Now, was the Was his wife still alive?
He wasn't married.
Okay. No, I meant your uncles.
Oh, no.
No.
They'd be pretty old.
No, I meant when the son was lost, where
yes.
their mother
oh, yes.
and father were still mm-hmm. alive. But, and you said he lost interest.
Yes.
And then you said that you thought people started leaving the farms after,
did more.
After World
mm-hmm.
War II.
Yeah. And then the Depression did a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
They just... One year, my husband cut... The only wheat he cut on quite a few acres. They had rented acres and owned acres. And he cut 7 acres.
Hmm. About how many acres did you and your husband own at your height or whatever?
That we owned. Well, that was just our farm. You know, that was a half section. But he.
So a half section is.
160 acres.
Okay, and then you then he farmed how many more?
Lots.
Then
over the years, my husband wasn't one to let money lay in the bank. So whenever he. It built up, why he would buy some more land. He still owned land in Colorado and around here. I sold the original farm to that guy because we didn't want to fix up the house and that, and I'm sure they wanted to and did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sold that, and then the other boy. The two boys together, Shaler's, Lynn's boys, bought the other land that we owned, which was a section and a half. And then we gave the girls, we had given our son already the home place. And so to kind of balance it, we gave the girls some of the land in Colorado, but we farmed it and went on, same as always. So a lot of activity. We had a section and a quarter out of Colorado.
Okay, I got a feeling. Can you think of anything else you'd like to know, Miss Rosetta?
When we harvested out there, part of the time we lived in the adobe house. There was an adobe house.
You mean like a sod house?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Well, it was just like a house. It was papered on the inside. And
did it have a wood floor or dirt floor?
Wood floor.
And then the ceiling, did it have sod on top of the roof or just a...
It had a regular roof. Yeah.
But it was built into the...
Laid on top, I suppose, and I don't know how they fastened it. I'm sure it was fastened if the wind's anything like it is here.
What was it like living in a soddy? Any differences?
It was fine, not really. Nice and warm and when it got cold, and stayed cool when it was hot. Better than the houses now do.
And were you cooking with wood or electricity then?
I don't even know. I can't think. We didn't have no stove. Or did we? Good grief. We must have cooked with wood. I think there was a soddy wash house outside too, and I think that had the old range.
Mm-hmm. To heat the water.
Mm-hmm. Just across the walkway.
Is there any other memories you'd like to share, like you'd like to get down? Something special or different?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think we were very lucky we chose moving to town when we did, and it gave us time. Carl helped John a lot, but by the same token, we went on a lot of trips. I think we went on 5 different cruises and a number of other visits. One covered an awful lot of, went to Russia and Denmark, you know, nearly all of England and Ireland. That I really enjoyed Ireland. It must be the air in my house. The caregiver this morning was coughing without a cold.
Well, I know you like to make cider. And does that go back to the orchard?
A friend of ours owned that. And when he didn't want it anymore, well, he died. And then she sold it to us. So we made cider, 5 gallon or more. And we always went to that Werner.
Bluegrass.
Jetmo. Close to Jetmo. And we gave it away there. They bought the apples, and people really enjoyed that. And we thought it was fun. See, once we went to Dodge, and I don't recall much about it, but it was a Halloween something, and we were, they asked us if we'd bring our cider press and serve it, serve apple cider, so we did. But those are all things we probably couldn't have done if we had stayed on the farm. Because on a farm, there's always something you can do. We square dance quite a bit, too.
So retirement was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Retirement was a good time for you.
Yes, it was. I think of that often, that I don't know which one of us thought of it or was ready for it, or both of us, I guess. A friend of one of my granddaughters had that picture painted, and all she ever saw, she doesn't know us at all, but this granddaughter had pictures, and she painted that, it's not paint, it's, what do they call that?
Etching.
And she's describing a picture of your wedding day, and then?
Well, that was when we were married 60 years,
and 60th years later.
Yeah. And that Barbara, our oldest daughter, it's not frosted, what is it?
Embroidery. Cruel,
yeah,
or embroidery?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work. Is that about it, Miss Rosetta?